At least I think Ben will pick up.
Paul Goody.
Hey, Ben Lawrence, how's it going?
That's good. How are you?
It's going pretty well. My sciatica has not been acting up as much today as it had been.
Well, that's good.
So that's good. Yeah, my.
So you've been able to get some sleep these days?
A little bit. Jennifer just came in and said something. Jennifer, what was that?
About the Mothman Museum?
Yeah.
There is not a memorial in there for them.
It's not a... Well, what is it then? Because there's
time sections, like the things, like about the bridge.
We're talking about... well, there are letters from the people and stuff about the... I was there, though. Oh, boy. Jennifer has stated, this is corrections a little bit early, and we'll get into other corrections later. But Jennifer has stated that the Mothman Museum, right?
Yes.
Doesn't really have a memorial to the people who died on the bridge. They have a bunch of letters and stuff, and they have a piece of the bridge. But the letters, which I thought were letters about the people who died on the bridge, are actually letters from people who saw the Mothman.
So the connection...
She's now looking...
The connection to the Mothman Museum and the bridge collapse is just there's a piece of the bridge in the museum?
Yeah, and there's a piece of the bridge in the museum, and I...
There's not, like, a wall that has the names of the people who died on the bridge?
The memorial for the Silver Bridge people is...
There's a bigger memorial that's further away. There's an actual memorial for them.
Well, that's good.
The Mothman Museum does have a small... She has said that it does have a piece of the bridge and a small section where they talk about...
That it happened...
And stuff, but it's not as big as I thought it was. I thought that the whole section was letters about people who died on the bridge, but it's not. They're letters for about people
Whereas
who saw them.
Whereas I was imagining a Vietnam veterans memorial inside of a Bigfoot museum.
Yeah, I thought it was bigger than it was, but I didn't think it was that big. So we're all kind of getting back to one on it. All right, so Jennifer or Betty, can either of you hear me? We're doing some housekeeping stuff. I need either the door to be closed or the PlayStation to be shut off. No one can hear me.
Can you not go and...
I'm alone here.
Close the door yourself?
No, I'm lazy. I suppose I could... Ben, I can't move. I can't get up. I'm so lazy, Ben.
What you were just saying earlier,
Ben,
that it doesn't hurt as much.
Can you come over here and shut the door or turn off the PS4 for me?
Were you not,
Ben,
just saying, what, 3 minutes ago that your sciatica in your leg is not as bad as it used to be?
Yeah, it's weird though because it's starting to hurt again just because I have to get up and turn off the...
That sounds more like a psychosomatic pain.
You're a psychosomatic pain.
People,
hey,
your family won't do things for you, so... Oh, this is hurting
okay,
me so much.
Jennifer's come back.
It's just, it's too sick and too sad.
Okay.
So here's the deal.
So both Jennifer and Betty are here, but neither of them heard me.
It's a party.
About what?
About either shutting the door or turning off the music from the PlayStation 4.
I'm talking to you, because this is, it's...
Okay, so Jennifer's coming...
Funny. Okay,
so just coming in.
The Mothman Museum is about the Mothman, and there are all of these things that are handwritten accounts of people who've seen the Mothman. And then there is a section that's all about the movie, and they have all these movie props, right? Like, and pictures from the movie, and Richard Gere, and like the uniform that Laura Linney wore. And then right next to that is this tiny little section where there is a piece of the bridge, and I actually had to call the museum back because I was like, I wasn't sure if there was actually anything from the actual accident in your museum. Was that a prop from the movie, like that Ibar being twisted and broken, is that just a prop? And Jeremy said, no, that's actually like a piece of the bridge. That's one of the Ibars that snapped. Okay, great. Well, terrible. And so I called him back again because I was like, I mean, it seems kind of like maybe this is gross. Like, that there's all this stuff about the Mothman and there are all these people who died in this massive bridge collapse. Do people feel bad? The people who lived there, the people who had family members who died on this bridge, do they feel bad? Does it seem gross or disrespectful? And he said, no, they don't link the two. There is a memorial for the people who died on the Silver Bridge. It is in a completely separate place. It's kind of weird.
Is it on the Ohio side or is it on the...
It's not in Gallipolis. It's in Point Pleasant.
Okay.
And...
That's West Virginia.
Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And... But it's right near where the new Silver Bridge is. And it's... You know, it's weird. It's like there's a, it looks kind of like a tree. It's a, you know, it's one of those like public art sculpture things that makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then around the edges of it, there's like a sort of a marble wall that has the names of the people who died etched into it. But the people in the town.
Oh, so there was a wall then. It was just in a different place. But Ben said, you didn't hear it, Ben said he thought there would be like a Vietnam-style memorial wall, and I said that there wasn't, but it's in a different place.
It's in this little sort of, what in Seattle would be called a pocket park. It's this little tiny space,
mm-hmm.
and this weird sculpture, and then there's the, like, wall that's sort of, like, you could sit on it. It's like 2.5 feet high. With the people.
You could sit on it, but it would be disrespectful.
It probably would. I wouldn't. Well, maybe I would. Depends on how my legs were doing that day. But the main thing is that the people in Point Pleasant and the people in Gallipolis separate the two. They really do. They think the Mothman stuff is like, okay, fine, whatever, crazy weirdos. The people who have family members and stuff, that disaster happened and, you know, they just don't connect the two.
It's kind of like maybe the Mothman Chernobyl thing, where people know about Chernobyl, they may not know about the Mothman being sighted near there.
Well, I think they do know a lot about the the Mothman statue, which is weird, but
at Chernobyl.
But it's yes, Paul, at Chernobyl. No, in Point Pleasant.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying. Yeah. Okay.
So, but you know what I'm saying? It's like if there were like Mount St. Helens, there's a Bigfoot museum there, and there are people who think that Bigfoot was there, so that's what caused the Mount St. Helens thing to happen. That it would be like just weird.
It's tangential, not.
It's the not hugest thing. Connected.
Yeah.
Like, was it a sandhill crane or a, you know, they just don't connect it any more than somebody would about, like, Mount St. Helens blowing up in Bigfoot.
Gotcha. So, Ben, does that all make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does clear some things up.
I just really, like, there was something about, I really wanted to say that the people at the Mothman Museum are very respectful of the people who died on the Silver Bridge and that whole thing. And they are not, and no, there isn't a large thing at the Mothman. There isn't.
Yeah.
It is like a little beam. And then everything else, all those letters are handwritten accounts of people who had seen the Mothman. So if you read the book, like all those handwritten accounts, they're there and you can look at them.
So there you go. All right. Well, that was a portion of correction. The thing that you wrote in another thing, that's not about the Mothman Museum, right?
Nope.
Okay, we'll That's a little preview of the thing that we call corrections.
I'm sorry, I just...
No, no, it's good. Jennifer had said that she would be willing to talk about it, but I didn't realize that she meant, like, actually discuss it on the thing, so we talked about that, and then I forgot about it, and then she came back in. So, we got it.
All right.
Now we have it.
So, reconfirm something for me. Did this all get started because the Mothman was sighted on the old Silver Bridge?
Yes.
Okay.
In and around Point Pleasant around the time of that. Yeah. And also maybe somebody was warned about it through some strange happenings. There's also this guy who's like an alien who this other guy met. It's part of it.
Boy, Point Pleasant, but West we'll Virginia get into is a that crazy place.
Later.
Yeah.
It is. It is kind of, well, yes, we can touch on it later when I actually have some research in front of me instead of my vague memories.
Right. I haven't really researched the Mothman, but I love looking up old cryptozoological stories like that. Like local legends, like the Jersey Devil. I love watching videos of like, what is the Jersey Devil, or things where you know, or Bigfoot, say, or other sort of monsters that haunt, like the Salem witch trials, also like the demons that still haunt that area. That's all that stuff is fascinating.
And all around this area during this time, like the Men in Black, right?
Right.
Were in this area around the same time. And there's an abandoned like dynamite factory or something like that. Just all this weird stuff together. And like the alien's last name was Cold, C-O-L-D. I don't remember what his first name was, but it was another weird thing that sort of sounded like human stuff, but not really.
Right.
And maybe he was one of the Men in Black and all this kind of weird stuff. The first time I had heard about it, and the first time I had heard about the Jersey Devil, Loch Ness, all that stuff, was through a Reader's Digest book called Mysteries of the Unexplained. I believe. I think it was Reader's Digest. It could have been Time Life, but I think it was Reader's Digest. And it was great.
That sounds like a Time Life title, like one of those series that they sold on TV where the tagline was, read the book.
Yep, exactly. But it was pretty cool. I like all that stuff. I used to believe when I was a little kid that if I closed my eyes when I was in the bathtub, I could transport myself to Loch Ness and I would blow bubbles in the water. And with my head underwater with the bubbles, it sounded like some weird sea creature. I would spook myself that way. And then I'd wake up and I'd be like, oh no. So fun, you know?
Well, it's
like
a good thing.
Kid stuff, fun.
It's a good thing you didn't drown in the bathtub when you were a kid.
Yeah. Or did I? I'm a ghost. Nope. Not a ghost, and I'm fine. So, how have things been, Ben, in Seattle? What's been new?
I'm tired of being cold.
It was cold there today.
Yeah, we've had like earlier this month, like in very early February, we had a brief period of like springtime weather, and one of our friends who is a landscaper posted on Facebook that, you know, he's mowing a lawn on February 6th, and this is not normal, in case anybody is confused about whether or not climate change is happening. And then the cold came, and I have this space heater in the office here at Annex that basically I have on constantly, just pointed at me. And like walking outside, it's just my ears hurt after I get back inside. Because the cold wind is whipping through them.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So, but
the weather today was spring like. I think it was like 60. It got up to.
Oh really?
Today, yeah. True story.
Yeah, it's
Illinois has always had weird weather. The idea of seasonable weather is odd. I mean, you have times where it'll be 50 in December, and then it'll be really cold again, and then it'll get to be 50 in February. Maybe in July you have one day where it's even 70. You know what I mean? It's like all over the place. It's pretty weird.
I mean, and that's what I really like about Seattle. It's very temperate, you know, so the weather doesn't fluctuate all that much. So it's a bit of a shock when we have weather here in Seattle.
Yes. Did you have snow this year? You did, right?
We had a dusting. I wouldn't say we had snow. There was like a few days where like it snowed one night and then like into the morning. And I think here in downtown Seattle / Capitol Hill, we probably accumulated an inch.
Wow.
Which was not enough to bring the city to its knees.
Like it has sometimes other...
Yeah.
Heavier snowfalls can really cripple Seattle.
This may sound odd, but it was a warm snow. We've had those cold snaps where basically the roads turn to ice. And so that's when it's not the snow that gets the buses jammed up. It's the ice underneath. And so when you see video, this really comical video of cars just sliding down these hills, it's not because it's snowed.
But there's
the roads are made of ice.
There's no traction.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned that for a while, not this year, but like a year or two ago, the roads were so icy. You wouldn't just spin when you hit your brakes. You'd spin when you started to accelerate.
Right.
Like you couldn't even get traction then, and it was just nuts. I remember when I first moved here, it was kind of in April or March, I think. Not in 2014, but like the first time that I actually moved. And I was telling my dad, it used to snow a lot more here. He's like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, I remember going to school one time, and the snow was like up to my waist. And he's like, yeah, but you were in second grade. And I was like, right.
There's a really funny Calvin and Hobbes strip that is exactly that scenario.
Really?
Calvin looks outside. He's like, it's snowing. It must be at least waist deep. And then he goes outside and he's a small kid. So he's standing like in front of the bus, waiting to get on the bus. And he's like, it's all relative.
Yeah, that's right. I think I might have told the story before, but I still like it. Snow plows would plow our roads, and the roads would get like bigger than they normally would be because all the ditch and the ice and everything would pave over. So you had like an extra lane or whatever,
right?
Kind of
where normally there would be like a gully. For runoff,
it was full of snow with ice on top of it, and there was one winter where the snowplow came through and made just this huge pile of snow in the church parking lot. We lived in the parsonage, which was next to the church and the church parking lot. So we got in our snow gear, went to the church parking lot, slid down the big hill of snow with things like little disc. You remember those plastic discs that you use as sleds?
Yeah.
Did you ever have them?
Yeah, we had a couple of those. Ours were red with yellow handles.
Yeah, exactly. Ones like those. And then my brother got the idea, hey, if you start on one side and I start on the other side, we can tunnel through this and make a tunnel. It should be really cool. And so we're like, yeah, let's do it. So we're tunneling. And I am... halfway there, and all of a sudden, through the snow in front of me, comes my brother's shovel.
Oh, geez.
Just right through, boom, hits me in the forehead. And I'm crying and freaking out and all that. And I'm convinced that this will show you how my paranoid mind works. I was convinced that he had engineered this whole thing. So that he would have a plausible excuse to hit me in the head with a shovel. As an adult, I realized that's not the case.
Pretty
sure.
You weren't using a shovel. You were like, on your hands and knees, just digging with your hands?
No, I had a shovel, but I believe that I had a different shovel.
Ah.
Like a smaller shovel or something like that. But yeah, it really was this, what is that coming through? Oh, right, it's a shovel. Like, I was able to get all of that thought into my head before it hit me.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
Of course, my morbid mind goes to that scene that I don't know if it actually happened or if it is just an old wives' tale or a new wives' tale, seeing as how it takes place in modern society. But the story goes that somebody is trapped in like a ditch collapse, right? People are digging ditches, the walls cave in, and they need to be dug out. So they get the backhoe. And,
oh no!
And the backhoe.
I don't like this already.
No, well, see, that's where this is going. The story goes that the backhoe killed the person because it just chomped right into them.
Yeah.
The backhoe operator didn't know where this person was. So one of my biggest fears is if I'm ever buried alive someplace that that's one of my biggest fears is getting buried alive someplace. But also like the opportunity to be saved is so close by, but at the very last minute, your head gets lopped off from a backhoe.
Oh yeah, that would be too bad. There was a time when there was a graveyard behind the parsonage where I used to live, and you dig the grave. And the funeral wouldn't be the grave would normally be dug the day before the funeral.
Yeah.
Right. And so we would have these open graves every once in a while. And because, we were kids, we would play in the graveyard and all that.
Of course.
And one point in time, my dog ran in and fell into one of the graves. And my dad had to actually go down into the grave to push the dog out.
Right.
Now, and then somebody was able to pull him out. But I had this concept of once you're in the grave, that's it. The person has to go in and get the dog out. And somebody else would have to go in and get my dad out. And somebody else would have to go in and get that guy. And it just, like there would always be one person in the grave.
Once,
and there's just nothing you could do.
Yeah, once the grave receives an offering, the offering cannot leave.
And obviously, the secret would be that then the funeral would happen, and then the funeral guy, I'm sorry, the person being buried would be put in the grave, and if you could scooch around or whatever, then the casket would be there, and you could crawl out.
Yeah.
But if it fit too bad, if it fit just snug enough,
right, and
there's no gap,
you weren't able to
then
get
you would be buried underneath the. And sorry, you're the last person in it. It reminds me of stuff like the stories of the ferryman who is doomed to be the ferryman until he gets somebody else to take his place. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then you're doomed until somebody else takes your place. I figured out that if there's a guy who really liked rowing boats, that would be a pretty cool way of being immortal. Kind of. If you were, content enough in your hobby of boat rowing that how would you like to do that forever? All right.
I'm pretty sure that if somebody does have the hobby of boat rowing and was offered the opportunity to do it forever,
yeah,
they might take a pass on it, because then they'd say, well, I like doing other things, like eating and sleeping in a warm bed.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, hey, speaking about sleeping in a warm bed and rowing, have you seen this tent that's built around a raft?
A tent that's built around a raft?
It's an inflatable raft with a tent on it. It's one thing, right? It's a tent and it's an inflatable raft. You blow it up and then you can sleep in the tent or you can be in the raft on the river.
I have not seen this, but I take it your raft is not a tent. Like at the tent, you can't just put the tent in the water and it's like a floating tent.
No, you can. That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
It's the tent is a raft and the raft is a tent.
It's basically a raft with a tent canopy.
Yeah, it's a right. It's a domed, floating, thing.
Okay.
That is a tent and a, and the person who posted it said, "I fully endorse this product. What could be wrong about going to sleep on a moving body of water?"
Right.
But you know, I think that if you look at it the other way, it's a tent that if your campsite floods, you won't get wet.
Yeah, hopefully if you've not staked your tent raft down to the ground.
I do wonder about that, though, how much... I mean, because you've been in canoes before and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You do get a little bit of water sloshing in there and all that. Yeah, and I know how I hate when I get my socks wet.
Yeah.
You know how gross that is? What if you're sleeping, you know, and you're whatever you're sleeping in gets a little wet from the thing? It could be a little annoying.
Well, I mean, have you ever been camping? It is not unusual to get wet while you're camping.
Oh, hey, I've been camping and I didn't like it.
I remember
reason.
One of the times I went camping with some friends of mine, they were brothers, and we went up to this place on the Olympic Peninsula called Lower Lena Lake, and we had to hike up there. It was probably a 20 or 30 minute hike up to this lake. And we had what they said was a 5-man tent. And it fit the three of us, and none of us were very big. We're all like, I'm 5'10". My friend was probably...
You keep rubbing it in, Ben.
My friend was probably six...
Ben is an inch taller than me.
My friend was probably 6 foot. His brother is, I think, maybe my size. So we're average height, right?
Yeah.
Average weight. And have average demeanor. And we finally staked the tent and had dinner that night, of course, by the campfire, because what are you going to do? And went to sleep. And it was so crowded, because what they don't tell you in these 5-man tents is that, sure, 5 guys can sleep in it as long as there's a separate tent for their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So we had to navigate this really small tent square footage with all of our gear.
That's a problem.
It rained that night. We had a tarp over the tent, and it rained, but I still got wet. Like, I woke up, and the outside of my sleeping bag was damp. I mean, I wasn't, like, sleeping in water, but it was definitely not dry.
Gotcha. I have a question about... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that may have been one of the last times I went camping.
Yeah, the last time I went camping was when we got stuck in the... in the dark, because we got off the trail and we hadn't planned to be out as long as we did.
Oh, no.
And we came back and our campsite was flooded. I was like, yeah, that's it.
Oh, jeez.
I'm good.
When was this?
This is when it was one of those times when Super Rocket Monkey was really small.
Mm.
So the person who organized the the trip... I had no part in it, although I did have a part in it being a little crazy because I wasn't wearing my glasses. It was when I was on that kick of, I think I can heal my eyesight naturally.
I can will my eyes to get stronger.
Yeah. So, the thing that I was going to say about all of this, though, when you were telling your story, you said that you had two friends who were brothers, right?
Right.
But then later on you said, my friend is like 6-something, and his brother is about my size. So was the taller guy more of your friend than his brother, or was that just a weird...
Oh, right. Yeah. The taller guy was my age, and so he was my friend, and his brother was a year behind us in school.
Gotcha. So there you go.
I was friends with both of them, but... like Ben, my friend's name was Ben. He was my friend, and Matt was his brother. But we hung out with Matt all the time.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So the Matt is also your friend, yes.
Yeah.
I got it. It's just like anything. It always is kind of cool. There's a weird sort of transition when you have a mutual friend with someone, right?
Right.
And then one day they can't make it, but you and the you and the other guy, who you don't know that well, hang out and you have a good time, and you're like, hey, now we're friends.
Yeah.
Because we don't have that. We were acquaintances, but then we hung out together, so now we're friends.
And
that sort of thing.
Like, specifically if that's a sibling, when you're a kid, right? Let's say you're in elementary school and your friend has an annoying little sibling, then you don't really want to be friends with him. But when you're in high school and your friend has a brother who's almost your age, he's just a year behind you, it gets to be more like you guys are peers. So now that, you know, we're all adults and everything, nobody really looks at age.
Yeah, my brother and I are just 4 years apart, and now that we're in our 40s, it's like, oh, wait a second. Yeah, we're still in our 40s. We're both in our 40s. Yeah, it's like there's almost no distance.
Yeah, my sister and I are both...
And it's weird, my biological... Sorry, go ahead.
My sister and I are both in our 40s, and I still tease her about how much older she is than I am. She's only 4 years older than I am.
You gotta do that, though. That's just good manners.
My job is a little
with
brother.
With siblings. But my biological dad is 16 years older than me. And so we talk about stuff that we used to do when we were kids, and it's sort of the same.
Yeah.
Like
15 years is not that much time.
Yeah, exactly. So it's weird. All right, where are we at now? We are at
about 31 minutes.
Okay, let's look at the other correction. So, as you might have seen before, my wife, and not just my wife, other people as well, sometimes put in corrections to the show. Why is that? It's because Ben and I, when we do this show, we don't use Google or any other search engines or books or anything like that. We try to answer questions using only the knowledge in our heads. It's something that we think people are losing the ability to do, so we try an hour a week to answer things just, you know, pure memory. And we say always, keep it wrong. If we don't know, that's fine, because other people will correct us. And one of the corrections was, of course, my recollection that there was a memorial to the Silver Bridge collapse at the Mothman Museum. There was not. There was some Silver Bridge stuff, but no actual memorial at the museum itself. What is the other correction, Ben?
It's a small one today.
Okay, that's good. Maybe.
We were talking about why you were sad because your Dungeons & Dragons group split up.
Yes.
And I asked why you weren't made the DM, and you gave an explanation, but then Jennifer gave hers. And I'm not quite sure if this is just meant for me or for the show, but since she said it was for the show, I'm just going to read what she wrote. She says, maybe why Paul was not recommended as DM. He created characters that are intentionally annoying and obstructive and die all the time. Just saying.
No. I mean, that is true. That is definitely true. But the reason, and I think I mentioned this before, but I don't know. The reason that it didn't work out is because we had a very specific dynamic. And by that, I mean the group itself. We have two, like, kind of introverted guys, and then two extroverted guys. One of the extroverted guy left, and then the other one was friends of that guy who was driving 40 miles or 40 minutes
right
to play. And so when his friend wasn't going to be doing it anymore, he was like, you know, we were good acquaintances, and I think, you know, pals.
But you didn't reach that period that we just spoke of a couple minutes earlier. Where,
exactly.
We're like, oh, hey, you're a good, you know, you and I are friends now.
That is exactly correct. And then so when the other extroverted guy left, what was left was the two introverts and me. And when I was like, hey, we could still do things, they were just like, which I get.
Yeah.
I get that. So that's fine. Also, you know what? It's crazy, but I'm kind of over it. I'm all right.
Are you? It's only been a week.
I'm not as sad as I was. And I think it's because I'm playing Fallout 4 on survival mode. Which, survival mode, if you're not familiar, Ben.
I am not.
With survival mode in Fallout 4, you need to eat. or you get hungry and you start losing points, you need to drink so that you, or else you get thirsty and you start losing, you know, basically you can't do as much if you're hungry or thirsty.
Right.
And you have to sleep. And it doesn't save anymore. The game doesn't save. You have to sleep, and when you sleep, it saves your game. So if you die, you wake up, right?
Yeah.
And the way I like to think about it is that I have prophetic dreams in this game, and so if I die and I wake up, well, I haven't actually done that yet. It's a vision of what the future might be, basically.
Now let me ask you a question about sleeping in game.
Yes.
I take it it's not like one of those Tamagotchi things where you have to let your character sleep for a real time 8 hours or whatever?
No, absolutely not. Time passes pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So you're sleeping.
You find a warm, quiet, safe place to sleep, and then it saves, and then you wake up the next morning.
It's even more strict than that. It has to be a bed.
A bed. You can't sleep on the floor or anything? Yeah.
Nope. You have to find, if you find a bed, you can, if it's a good bed indoors, you can sleep for 8 hours. If it's a dirty mattress somewhere else, you can sleep for about 3. Sleeping bag is the same thing.
Yeah.
You can sleep for about 3. Oh, I think dirty mattress might be 5 hours and sleeping bag is 3. But the how much you sleep gives you better or worse benefits.
Right.
Like, if you're well-rested, you actually can learn skills faster.
Just like real life.
Right, exactly. And you heal when you sleep. But that's the other difference, is that when you sleep, you heal, like, all of you're much better. You know, like, you heal all your stuff.
Right.
Oh, but then the other thing also is that in the game, if you get a disease, you have to go find a doctor or take antibiotics. It's just all, you know.
There are doctors in this post-apocalyptic hellscape?
Yes, there are. And they're... Oh, speaking of post-apocalyptic hellscapes, Ben...
United States of America, everybody.
How was the news recently? I'm back on Twitter, everybody. And I get to find out all the bad things that happened in the world now.
A lot of bad things have happened.
Yep. I was very much away from it for a while. And... it was nice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, things are crazy. One of the things I want to... I mean, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, but one of the things I really want to talk about is NBC, because it goes to the reason I quit Twitter in the first place for a while.
Yeah.
NBC released information about people who were using Twitter... who weren't who they said they were.
What?
They were...
people
they
do
were
that?
Actually working on behalf of a foreign government to do bad things, intentionally mislead people and make them do one thing or another thing or think something. And boy, oh boy, Ben, do you remember when I was on Twitter during the... I don't want to say it exactly because I don't want to lose any listeners... specifically my wife, who hates it when I talk about this stuff. But, you know, at one point in time, I'm not going to get into the specifics, but at one point in time, I was suggesting that this was happening. And at the time, people thought that I was a little crazy.
Are you talking about our most recent presidential election?
Yes, I am, Ben.
Right.
Where I was telling people, look, you guys are... having real problems. You're not thinking clearly. You're getting whipped up over nothing. It's not nothing, but you know what I mean? Like, you guys should be friends and you're fighting, and why is this?
Right.
Who is this guy? You know, that kind of thing. And it turns out, turns out what? That I was right. And yay, do I feel good about it? No, I don't. No, I don't. Cassandra complex happening. Everything is fine. So, but yeah, they put out reports and news about that sort of thing. And because the news on that is out, I don't feel crazy about it anymore. And I feel like I'm okay to be on. because I'm not screaming into the void anymore about this thing. Now people know it's happening, and even if they don't get it and still fall into the same traps as they used to, at least, you know, I can sort of deal with it.
It's pretty funny.
Because I don't feel crazy anymore.
It's pretty funny when somebody catches one of these Twitter accounts, whether it be a foreign agent posing as an American or just a straight-up bot, who have not turned off location services or not,
yes,
or who have not turned off their location on their Twitter. So you see somebody with a profile that's got a MAGA hat and maybe an American flag emoji in their name, and it's posted from Russia or from Ukraine or wherever.
Speaking about Russia, what do you think about this idea that Russia was funneling money to political candidates to the NRA, have you heard that?
Not.
That's kind of weird.
Political candidates of... Wait. They were posing as the NRA?
I don't know.
Or
I don't
they were
know
giving
exactly
money
how it
to
works.
The NRA.
You'd have to look it up, but yeah, apparently money going through the NRA to political candidates.
Oh, so
from
the NRA
agents.
The NRA was laundering Russian
that is
donations?
The... Hey, man, we keep it wrong here. I don't know for sure. That's just what I heard.
I am just drawing wild conclusions from the vague statements you are giving me.
That's America, buddy. but that's what the implication seems to be.
I'm going
to
write that in the show notes.
I don't know.
The NRA is laundering money from the Russians.
Is that true? Who knows?
Do you think that's going to get any bots on any...
Weed Guy 45 knows, and he's posting it on Twitter. I don't know. Sorry. it seems to check out. I'm sure that that's legal and fine and happening.
Well,
If
the NRA registers themselves or another entity as a super PAC, then you don't have to disclose your donors. And so the Russians can give as much money as they want to these super PACs, which can give as much money as they want to political candidates.
And don't super PACs sound like something that you should be able to, like, you know, grab and get an extra 50 health out of? It seems like.
While being chased by a ghost.
Exactly.
Was Super Pac-Man the name of a game? I know Ms.
No,
Pac-Man was.
So,
they didn't have like a Sega Genesis game called Super Pac-Man.
I don't know. I'm sure they, in the world where you have Sinbad starring as Shazam in the TV show, probably there is also a Super Pac-Man. Oh man, somebody was talking about the Mandela effect and they made this statement like, do you remember when the Mandela effect was just called getting something wrong? Which I like a lot. I think that's great. But the interesting thing is that the people who officially coined the term the Mandela effect, it doesn't count unless more than one person remembers it.
Right.
Like, it has to be a bunch of people all remembering the same thing. And so, you know, I've got a lot of stuff that I swore I knew but is wrong, but it's just me. You know, so it doesn't really count.
Right.
But there's other stuff, too. Like for instance, let's say I say, wasn't there a TV show called The Big Blue Marble? And everyone that I talk to says, no, that doesn't mean that TV show doesn't exist. Right? It just means that nobody else remembers it. And then one day I find out that it exists and I show it to people and they're like, wow, I guess you're right. And nobody cares. But for the time that I think that maybe I was wrong about it, it's freaky and weird.
And you're like, how can I be wrong about anything?
Right, exactly. So here's this is where I'm getting at. One of the other things in the news, of course, is the American Harvest Box. Which is a plan that was floated in a budget for 2019. And I don't know if it's going to happen or not, But the idea is that instead of SNAP benefits, you know, where people get food stamps to buy food at grocery stores,
right,
they would get a box of food instead,
right,
called the American Harvest Box. And it reminded me of when I went to school, how bad my school lunches were.
Yeah.
And one of the things was that we got what we at the school termed government cheese.
Yeah.
But having talked to Jennifer about the government cheese that her parents got, which was like a loaf of American cheese, I'm thinking that maybe what I got wasn't government cheese, but it was something else.
Well, I'm on your side on this because I have a very distinct memory of visiting one of my mom's friends when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And she was on public assistance and had, quote, government cheese.
Yeah.
And I don't even think they called it government cheese in the house. They just called it cheese.
Yeah.
But it tasted horribly. And I only learned later on, like when I was a teenager, that, oh, that family was on public assistance.
So here's the thing, though. Did you read the description that I had and the description that she had and the differences between them?
The description Jennifer's, she had was like it was a block of American cheese.
It was a block of American cheese, but very greasy.
Yeah.
And in like a white box. The thing that I remember having at school was like a much larger box. I said it was like a Kleenex box size, but like longer. And square. It was square. It wasn't oblong, if I'm remembering correctly.
You saw the box.
I mean, it wasn't
cheese,
a rectangle.
You saw the box the cheese came in school?
Or not the box the cheese came in, but I believe I was there when they were cooking it. Because I remember that I think I got...
they put you on KP?
I was on KP for a little while. and what I remember is it was sort of trash bag type material, but thicker. Like just a plastic, like you know the clear plastic that lots of snacks come in or whatever?
Yeah.
Like that, but it was brown. and opaque. And
that's how you know the plastic has gone bad.
And if I remember correctly, it was sort of like it had a grain to it. Like it broke apart weird.
Here's my question about government cheese.
Yeah.
Now, you can go to the store and there are different types of cheeses from different types of manufacturers, different dairies and all that.
Yes.
I'm sure the expensive cheeses are really good and the least expensive cheeses are serviceable. If, you know, to a connoisseur, they might be really bad. Who makes government cheese? Is it just cheese reject from the dairy farm that makes regular cheese? Is there a government food processing facility that has government workers making the cheese so they don't know how to do it properly?
That's the question. There was a guy that I was talking to on Twitter who said that his family got government cheese, but he remembered it being like cheddar cheese. That was not what Jennifer remembered or what I remembered as our version, my version.
Government is not a flavor, though. It's a description. So, it's like, you know, it could be any type of cheese. It just comes from the government.
That's the thought. But I could have sworn at the time that the thing that we got as the government cheese wasn't... I mean, it probably had dairy in it. But it wasn't...
Or soy.
It wasn't like the normal... Right, exactly. Like, maybe it had soy in it. Maybe it had other stuff. But the fact was, it didn't cut like cheese. It didn't melt like cheese. It was weird.
Is there any other food product that has the descriptor government attached to it? Because you hear government cheese all the time, but you don't hear of government milk, government cereal.
The butter we got was weird. I don't know if it was government butter.
Government broccoli.
But the other thing is that there's the prison loaf stuff, which is made by someone, maybe Sodexo. Sodexo used... the reason I say that is because they supply food to prison. when I was working for the large internet retailer, they were the people who ran our kitchens. And it was funny because the food there was really good, and somebody informed me, well, you know, they also run prison kitchens. And I was like, well, that's really weird.
So I wonder if prison food is really good.
No, it's not. at least the prison loaf stuff is weird. It's supposed to be the full nutritional value of whatever, but it's just a loaf of stuff, and you eat it.
So it's not a loaf of bread. It's not like a meatloaf. It's just like salt,
right? Like
a loaf of nutrients and minerals and protein.
Like the way somebody had described it is like you take all of your leftovers, you put them in a blender, and then you bake it.
Right.
And that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
So, and this goes to the thing about, you know, this American Harvest box, they're going to get this box and then they're going to eat it. The idea being that if you're poor or if you're a criminal or, you know, whatever the othering mechanism is,
right,
that you don't get to choose stuff.
Right.
This is just your stuff. This is what you're given. And the thing that I think is interesting is that in my mindset, right, I remember stating that if I was giving a jumpsuit to wear and like, hey, this is what everybody's wearing, I would be cool with it. And I think the reason is because I have choices, right? And because I have had choices and Betty, it's almost time. Because I have had choices, right?
Yeah.
Not having a choice is like a luxury. It's like something I can decide would be cool. Does that sound...
Does that make sense? You want to have a choice on what you can't have choices on.
Right.
Right?
Well, no. I mean, and that's the point, is that I do have a choice on what I can't have choices on. So when I say, oh, man, I would love to have a jumpsuit and just wear that, the reason I am saying that is because I do have choices.
Right.
I don't, it's not that I don't want or I don't appreciate my choices. It is that I don't appreciate my choices. But what I'm saying is it's that I want to have the responsibility of making choices given to somebody else. Right. But yeah, I would
love to
be able
to say no.
Where do you
want
to go for
dinner tonight? I don't know. You decide.
Exactly. Okay, we're having Mexican food. No, not that. See, that's the type of thing.
Too bad. That's my choice. So we're doing that.
Yeah. And so the big thing now, though, is that Betty is here, and we have a pretty cool note. Betty is 12 years old, and she is going to go on a vacation with me and Jennifer for the first time in a long time to, like, an actual place and do stuff. I'm not saying when, because I don't want to, you know... mess anything up.
Are you going to say where?
We're going to go to Disney World.
Wow.
I'm sorry, not Disney World, Universal Studios. Sorry, everybody. I don't know. We're going somewhere, Ben.
Are they?
Yeah, we're going to Universal Studios.
Is that near Disney World down there in Florida?
Yeah, it's in the same area, but it's the thing that has all the Harry Potter stuff.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. And other things, you know, don't get me wrong. There's a bunch of stuff to choose from.
I went to
the big thing is that we're gonna bank the episode, so people won't know. That's my thought anyway. One day we'll record a 2-hour thing, or we can just skip it if you don't want to record.
Wait, what?
For two
no,
hours.
No. Let's fall
because I'll be gone for a week.
Let's fall back. So you're gonna be gone for a week. You're gonna be gone on one of the Thursdays in which we record. So.
That's right.
Gotcha.
So, anyway, that's what I was thinking. We could bank an episode.
Yeah, that's cool. We could just,
let's see.
We could just record for 2 hours one day and just stop it and then restart it.
Here's something really interesting. And I'm not going to go off on too much of a rant here, but now that I live in the Midwest,
yeah,
I talk to people who own firearms all the time.
Right.
We've gone over this a little bit, but you might have seen this already today on Twitter. But because of my familiarity with these folks and because I talked to them and everything like that, I found out a really interesting analogy to explain the AR-15 to people. Because people are like, why are these even legal? These are assault weapons.
Right.
The AR-15 should be illegal. And I don't want to get into the legality of that idea necessarily. What I want to get into just really quick is the mindset of the person who owns the AR-15.
All right.
Because I've talked to some of the folks, and here it is. This is basically the thing. Imagine the AR-15 is a pit bull, right? And there is a news story where a pit bull ran into a public park and chewed an old lady's face off.
Huh.
Right? That's not fun. Betty, that's not. Okay, that's. Betty is dancing around now. So imagine that happened. And you have a pit bull whose name is Daisy, who lives at your house and plays with your kid, you know, and is lovable and likes tummy rubs and all that. And somebody says, these pit bulls are dangerous. We've got to get rid of all the pit bulls. Well, you're going to be thinking about Daisy. You're going to be like, Daisy doesn't hurt anybody. Daisy is a nice dog and... You know, this one pit bull did this thing.
I would buy more into that analogy if the one pit bull who chewed the lady's face off chewed off the faces of 45 people in 30 seconds.
You're taking an issue with the analogy.
I am taking issue
with the analogy. But I want to point out that the person who owns the AR-15 isn't the person making the analogy. It's me. So maybe I've got a problem with it. But what I'm saying is this: not my AR-15. That's what it is. It's never your
AR-15 until your kid finds the key to your gun cabinet and shoots one of his friends.
And this was the other thing. I was like, the difference between the gun control folks and the anti-gun control folks, it's all about who the problem is. The gun control folks, right, have this concept. Anyone could be a problem, right?
Yeah.
You have one bad day, or somebody breaks into your house, or your kid finds it, or whatever. Anyone can be a problem. That's why there shouldn't be guns. Whereas for the anti-gun control folks, it's other people are the problem, not me and my thing. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's
That's why the arguments, they're arguing two different things.
Yeah.
And... It's weird. The odd thing is that from the statistic that I read, 5 million AR-15s are owned in the United States. 5 million, which is a lot. It's one for every person that lives in the town where I live. How many times over?
Yeah. Like,
I can't do the math, Ben, but 12,000 people live in the town. So
5 million divided by 12.
Yeah. Well, wait, no, 5 million divided by
12,000.
Let's see. 12,000. So 12,000, you take out the three. I'm going to do this. You take out the three.
Are you doing it in your head or on paper?
500,000.
Five.
500,000 divided by 12 is... Yes, Betty? 4,000. 4,000 guns for every person here. That's crazy.
But still, Dad.
Yes, Betty?
You're doing yelling for Betty without me.
Well, I haven't yelled for Betty yet.
Oh.
Okay. You just came in, remember?
I didn't just come in. I've been here for over...
No, I mean you... Yeah, what I mean is you walked... I didn't call for you. You walked in.
Okay.
You just walked in. Yes, you did walk in a while ago. But so that's the thing, is that And so everyone that owns one, pretty much, I can't think of somebody who would own it, who owns an AR-15 and says, I think I shouldn't have this thing. Right? They're probably all pro it.
It's one of those issues that I don't think is ever going to be resolved in our lifetime. We are, in my lifetime at least, we are going to constantly have these mass shootings and constantly not do anything about it because it's in the Constitution and people love their guns.
Yeah. Well, the big thing that, like, what the reason I stopped debating folks around here on this is the one argument that I got into with somebody, and I'm not going to say who they are or do anything like that, but the basic thing was I said, you know, I don't have a gun. I have no interest in owning one. And he was like, well, then, you know, you're not really, you know, you need, you know, it's good to have for protection. And I said, well, earlier you said that a motivated person could kill somebody with anything, that it doesn't need to be a gun.
Right.
So if I'm protecting my family, I should have enough motivation that I don't need one, right? I mean, by that logic.
I can kill you with this chair.
And yeah, that, So the bottom line is, and this is what you've already said it too. What we're talking about is not whether or not you could kill somebody, but how efficiently could you do it? That's what it breaks down to.
Right.
You need two factors. You have factor number one, the will to do it, right? Which gun owners and non-gun owners agree that if somebody wants to kill people, they will kill people. People are, you know, there are murderous jerks out there. That's
and there always
right,
will
but
be.
What we, right. We're not saying that those can go away, but the idea is to, when they do decide to do that, to make it as inefficient as possible.
Yeah.
Cars. People bring up cars all the time.
Right.
I from playing Grand Theft Auto enough, I like having a car more than I like having a gun when it comes time to kill a lot of people. It's easier. You don't have to aim it as you know, badly. And then the other thing, one of the guys who I work with who has a lot of gun experience and all that, says that the one thing that they get wrong in movies all the time is the idea of the one shot, one that when you shoot someone, they're down.
Right. One shot, one kill.
Yeah. And one shot, one kill, but instant kill also.
Right.
It doesn't happen. And that was one of the things that he noted, like whenever you hear that police shot a suspect, you know, this many times or whatever, lots of times it's because they want to hit something that is serious, I guess, which is, you know, scary to think about. But again, we get back to the thing of, well, if it's, you know, if it's that hard to do, then why do you need, it's all circular. It all goes around.
Yeah. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for technology to solve this issue. I'm waiting for technology to be attached to gun sights or to guns themselves that will recognize if it's aimed at a living person.
Or, if nothing else, make sure that the person who has the gun is the person that owns the gun.
Right.
That's one.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's
even that.
Phones do that these days. So, you know. Just
yeah,
add
exactly.
These little biometric sensors to your Glock.
And honestly, this is one of those things where I don't think I think that there are middle grounds that some people would agree to. You know,
yeah.
The one other thing I was going to state is that, you know, there are some some gun control laws in effect in Illinois that aren't in effect across the river in Missouri. And it's really interesting to hear, like, what is and what isn't. Like, you need a license to carry a concealed weapon.
Yeah.
In Illinois. And that concealed carry license transfers over to Missouri. Missouri will allow you to, you know, carry your gun in Missouri if you have an Illinois license, but it doesn't go the other way. And it's because the rules in Missouri are a little bit laxer.
Right.
So your concealed carry permit doesn't work in Illinois. I might get that one wrong, but you get the idea.
That's what we do here. We keep it wrong.
Yeah. And hey, speaking of keeping it wrong, hey, Betty!
What?
I'm yelling for you now.
Okay, cool. What do you want?
What do I want? Okay, see you, Ben.
All right,
I'll talk
Paul.
To you later. All right.
Really?
Come on. You have to. If you're not interested, that's fine.
Okay,
we can. Come back. Come over.
Okay.
I really wanted to just end it there, Ben. I was totally gonna do it.
We can.
But then.
There's still time.
Yeah, I know. But then I look at this kid and I'm like, how could I ever? She's great. I don't know what else to say. So Betty and I just watched an episode of Helsing.
Well, most of it. We still have a few minutes left.
Which is about vampires.
And it is stupid, but also kind of not stupid, and I still love it.
It's a TV show?
It's an anime from 2003.
So basically, there's this thing where this guy goes to this place, and then this girl is there, and then this guy is behind the girl, but that guy has to shoot the girl to get to the guy, and so he shoots the girl.
Yeah, this guy shoots.
The girl dies.
Apropos to what we're talking
and
about,
then they both.
This guy is holding using this woman as a human shield.
Yeah.
And so the guy says to the person who's a human shield,
"Hey, do you want to become a vampire or something?"
And she was like, "Yeah, okay." And so then he shoots through her to shoot the guy who's holding her hostage. And the guy who's the vampire, the main vampire guy, Betty, tell Ben what the guy's name is.
Basically.
It's Alucard.
Dracula, but backwards!
And he says a line that I think is great. It's a beautiful night, even more beautiful if you're a bloodsucker. Which doesn't make any
sense. Because I'm a freaking vampire.
Yeah, exactly. He just basically is walking around going...
wants everybody to know that he's a vampire.
Hello, what are you doing tonight? Are you being a vampire? Because that's what I'm doing. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
It's just silly. So yeah, that's basically what we've been doing. And Betty's 12 now, so she can ride in the front seat. We're going to go...
Wait,
and
what?
I'm becoming more comfortable with swearing, but I'm not going to say any swear words right now because...
Yeah, it's a family podcast. Betty said the F word today without any hesitation.
Going back to riding the front seat, is that a family-imposed rule? You can't ride in the front seat until you're 12?
No, in Illinois, you can't ride in the front seat until you're 12.
Really?
Yep, true story.
Wow.
Hey, guess how many people actually follow that rule?
I'm guessing very few people actually follow that rule.
Yeah. Illinois doesn't have a helmet rule, by the way.
Oh, fun.
People driving around with motorcycles.
Okay, is there anything else you want to say or else I'm going?
Okay, see you later, Betty.
I mean to me.
Yep, bye-bye. So long.
Auf Wiedersehen, say farewell.
You. What? Oh, yeah. By the way, Betty and I saw that, saw The Sound of Music, which I think we mentioned last time.
You mentioned you were seeing it. I don't remember when it was.
Oh, but one of the great things is that they're on stage, and all of a sudden all the Nazi banners fall down.
Yeah.
And there was an audible gasp from the crowd. It was the set work was great. And some people walked out and I'm like, oh man, I can't believe, I mean, it's part of the show. Because it was like one of the last things. Then we got to the parking garage that we were at and I realized the reason they walked out wasn't so much because of all the banners. It was because it took us 20 minutes to get out of that
garage.
They
wanted to beat traffic.
It was nuts. And I can understand doing that with a baseball game and stuff, but doing that at a theater performance?
At a play?
Those jerks! Is what I say.
Exactly.
All right, so we're going to go.
And with that.
And I really enjoy talking to you, Ben. You are my friend, and I am happy to be your friend.
All right. Likewise. Hey, as my friend, keep it wrong.
712.
Keep it wrong.
All right.
Oh, okay. So I got to turn. It fell over. I'm going to turn this off.